my title is There Is But One God versus There Are Many Gods. I started reading a book called Controversial Issues in Social Policy. The title of the book increased my awareness of controversial issues in Bible doctrine. An example of a controversial issue in Bible doctrine is there is but one God versus there are many gods. Other controversial issues in Bible doctrine are once saved, always saved versus you must endure until the end. Women should be silent in the church versus there were women prophets, judges, and other speaking offices in the church. The gifts of the Holy Spirit have passed away with the death of the last apostle versus fully preaching the gospel is followed by signs and wonders. Everything in life is predestined versus we are predestined to be declared sons and daughters of God. God knows everything versus God said, I came down to see, etc. I will address the controversial issue of there is but one God versus there are many gods now. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In order to accomplish that goal, I would highly recommend that before arriving at the whole truth, be sure that all the scriptures on a subject are collected in one place to be read together at one time. One great fault of many people is the acceptance of only part of the scriptures on a subject and the rejection of other passages that contradict their theory. Let us look at three perceptions of Godhood. One, Jehovah is God. Two, Satan, idols, and angels are gods. Three, men are gods. First, let us get Satan as a god out of the way. In 1 Corinthians 8, 5 to 6, Paul introduces and concludes the controversial issue, there is but one God versus there are many gods. 1 Corinthians 8, 2 to 6, page 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. 5. For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. 1 Corinthians 8:5. NIV. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, indeed there are many gods and many lords. Notice that verse 5 says, if there are many, and then it refers to them as so-called gods, or as those that are called gods. Then the parenthesis modifies and does not negate or cancel the thing that is outside the parenthesis. For such is the grammatical function of parenthesis. The parentheses go on to say, indeed, or surely, there are many of what is outside the parenthesis, which is so-called gods, or those that are called gods. Furthermore, the word gods in the NIV is in parentheses and in quotes. Quotes is another way of referring to these so-called gods, which are outside of the parentheses, as idols, which are not gods at all. In addition, parentheses are used in the Bible to imply that the text was not literally part of the original text. More precisely, the Bible refers to these so-called gods as false gods. A false god is no more a god than a picture of a dog is a dog. It is a false dog. Furthermore, this class of false gods is the class that Satan belongs to. He too is not the true God, nor is he associated with the true God. He is a false God, or more precisely, he is a joke of a God. As those encountering Satan in the bottomless pit said, are you the one that has been plaguing the earth for all this time, little old you? Isaiah 14:16. What should the Christian's attitude towards false gods be? Exodus 23:13. And in all things that I have said, be circumspect and make no mention of other gods neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Joshua 23:7. That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. Deuteronomy 7:25-26. The graven images of their gods shall be burned with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, or take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shall thou bring an abomination into God's house, lest thou be a cursed thing, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Deuteronomy 11:28. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandment of the Lord thy God. Turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go unto other gods, but ye have not known. In short, Christians should not acknowledge that Satan is a god, because he is no more a god than a statue is a god. First and foremost, the Bible teaches monotheism, not polytheism, not henotheism. Henotheism is a form of polytheism which states that there are many gods, but I choose to worship only one, two, or whatever number. Generally speaking, isms are what you think, not necessarily what you do. Therefore, to think that there are many who are worthy to be called gods is polytheism, just as Indians from India believe that there are many worthy to be called gods. Nevertheless, they may or may not choose to worship them. Rather, a Christian's attitude towards these so-called gods should be one of utter detest and abhorring. A Christian should not let the idea of these so-called gods come into his mind. It is quite clear that it is anti-biblical for a Christian to build a doctrine or support a doctrine based on the premise that there are many gods. The only scripture that gives reference to Satan as a god is 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And that scripture defines Satan as a false god, which is not a god at all. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of those which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is the god of this world, just as Pharaoh is the god of this world to the Egyptians. No Christians should ever let come out of his mouth that the Bible says that Pharaoh was a god. Therefore, blah, blah, blah. That is polytheism. Scriptures that speak about other unrighteous men besides Pharaoh as gods are Acts 8:10. To whom they all gave heed, from the greatest to the least of them, saying, this man is the great power of God. Jeremiah 2:11. Have a nation changed their gods, which are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Jeremiah 5:7. How shall I punish thee for this? Thy children has forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I have fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Jeremiah 16:20. Shall a man be brought unto himself, and there are no gods? Again, the Bible defines the recognition of these unrighteous men as gods as polytheism, and no Christian should let that come out of his mouth, for it is an abomination to do so. Scriptures that speak of others besides Satan as gods are angels are called gods. Genesis 32:30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. Psalms 97:9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Corinthians 6:3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more important to this life? Revelation 22:9. Then say ye unto me, thou do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and thy brethren the prophets, of them which keep the saying of this book, worship God. In the best case scenario, angels are gods upon condition of being obedient to God's word. Nevertheless, worshiping angels is polytheism. Although there is but one true God, righteous men who are co-laborers with the one true God, Jehovah himself, has declared that they too are in fact gods. Psalms 82, 6. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. John 10, 34. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. Exodus 7, 1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Psalms 8, 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hath crowned him with glory and honor. Exodus 15, 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Psalms 82, 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges the mighty, he judges among the gods. Psalms 86, 8. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. The Bible has an abundant number of scriptures that speak of Jehovah or Yahweh as God. All others who are not a part or associated with the one true God are not gods at all. Isaiah 34, 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth above the earth by myself. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Isaiah 53:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and obey me, and understand that I am he. before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Mark 12:32. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. The scripture makes it clear in Isaiah 34:24 that God created the universe by himself with no help from anyone else. Isaiah 44:24 says, Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that born thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. The scripture goes on in Genesis 4:26 to say, Let us make man. How can these things be? How can God say that he created the universe by himself and then turn around and say, Let us make man? That is another issue for another day. Back to the point of there is but one God. The scripture goes on to say that if you are not that true God or affiliated with him in some way, then you are a false God, which is by definition not a God at all. On the other hand, righteous men associated with the one true God, thus making them gods according to Jesus and God. For Jesus said in John 10:34, Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said ye are God? Furthermore, God himself declared that those who are in association with him were in fact gods. Psalms 82:6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Another question. How do gods die like men? The authority that gods have is conditional authority. Angels' authority is upon condition that they obey God's will. Satan was an angel. With all the authority and godliness of angels, his job was to minister to Adam. While ministering to Adam, Satan realized that Adam had a form of authority that he himself as an angel did not have. That was unconditional authority. Unconditional authority was authority that was not contingent upon doing God's will. That was the type of authority that men associated with the Tower of Babel had. Men could come against God and still maintain some semblance of their authority. That is when iniquity was found in Satan. Satan devised a plan to get Adam to give him his authority so that he could come against God and not be stripped of all of his authority. The Bible went on to say in Psalms 8, 5, that men were created a little lower than Elohim, and that they would judge the angels. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Back to the point of there is but one God. Then the Bible goes on to say in Romans 3:23 that the righteousness of God comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. Not by our faith, but by his faith. For our faith was as dirty rags. So Jesus gave or made available to every man the measure of his faith. Everything that Jesus did, he did using his faith. Therefore, if we have his faith, then surely we can do the things that he did. We had the imputation of sin, the imputation of righteousness, and now we have the imputation of faith, his faith. This is the next great awakening. Just as in the last great awakening, we came to the acknowledgement that salvation by grace instead of by works, the idea was always there in the scripture, but we were not always aware of it. We resisted it. Even now, we still resist the fact that we have access to Jesus's faith. When we truly are awakened by this realization and stop saying that Jesus had the full anointing of the Holy Spirit because Jesus was God, yet we are not God. Therefore, we only have a partial access to his faith. We can only do some of the things that Jesus did. No. Jesus had the full anointing of the Holy Spirit as a man. Jesus was fully God and fully man. As he is, so are we in this world. Our understanding that we have access to the faith of Jesus Christ will be the next great awakening. It is our ability to do the things that Jesus did that makes us gods now, not necessarily in the world to come, as the Mormons and others preach. An awakening so that men, when speaking of us, would say, what manner of man is this? Even the winds respond to his will, because our will would be aligned with God's will. An awakening such that the devil himself will say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, and now Herman I know. An awakening such that we can with confidence say, we are God's, for as he is, so are we in this world. An awakening so that we can with confidence say that the things that Jesus did, we can do also. An awakening so that we can with confidence say, what Jesus said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? An awakening so that we can say with confidence, we understand the scripture which saith, God stood in the congregation of the right, of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods and hath said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. An awakening such that we might understand the difference between the unconditional authority which Adam had and Satan stole from him, and the conditional authority which angels and gods have, which is contingent upon us being obedient to God's word. For God said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men. An awakening that we can without shame talk about those things that are not as though they are. They are. And expect that they will come to pass before we get to heaven at an age of 120. An awakening such that we can begin to comprehend that with God, there is no difference between a day and 1,000 years. An awakening such that we are not the victims of impatience. An awakening that would cause us to realize that the thing that could take 1,000 years to come to pass may very well happen overnight. Thus, we can look forward to eternity invading time, where we don't have to wait 1,000 years to enter into that Shekinah glory, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let it be. Hallelujah.